Brothers and sisters, we will open up this exhortation meeting by singing the words of hymn number 138. Almighty maker of thy frame, short is the measure of my days. Give me to know how frail I am and spend the remnant to thy praise. Hymn 138. Please stand, and Brother Steve Mayer will offer a prayer.
O thou the great and most holy, ale of the heavens, once again, O Father, we would desire a few of thy children to approach unto thee in the way that thou hast appointed, even in and through the name of Yahshua thy Son. Ever thankful unto thee, O Father, for the many blessings and mercies which thou dost bestow upon us. At this time, O Father, we are thankful unto thee that thou, the Most High, rulest in the kingdoms of men, and hath allowed us to meet in this way in peace and quietness, without let or hindrance from the world around us. We are so thankful unto thee, O Father, that this week we have been able to assemble with those of like precious faith, to prepare our paths for that glorious day when thy beloved Son shall rule from Jerusalem. O Father, we see by the signs of the times, the conflicts in the Middle East, the problems in the nations, that indeed we must be living in the latter days, when thy beloved Son shall appear from the heavens and shall intervene in the affairs of mankind, to overthrow the kingdoms of this world. And we look forward to the time, O Father, when the nations, in all their wickedness and evil, shall be swept with the besom of destruction, that every knee shall be brought to bow, O Father, before thee and before thy beloved Son, recognizing that thou art the great creator, the sustainer and provider of all things in life. We thank thee then, O Father, for these sessions, We hope and pray that we will all be wise enough in this our day and generation to continue to seek those things which are from above, being guided by the divine principles of thy word. And we are thankful unto thee, O Father, that thou hast preserved down through the ages that record for us, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that through that living word we may know how to serve thee. And we hope, O Father, that we will continue to take that great example of thy beloved Son and follow in his footsteps, that we might indeed put the mind of thy beloved Son in ourselves, that we may think and walk as he thought and walked, that when we appear before that great day of account, he might see a reflection of himself in us and grant us just but a small part in that glorious kingdom which thou hast prepared from the foundation of the world. Bring us to that day, O Father. We will not give thee rest until thou hast brought these things to pass, until thou hast fulfilled the promises which thou hast made. Finally, pray, O Father, that thou wilt be mindful of our frame, that we are of the dust, and that thou wilt put our sins behind thy back, never to remember them any more against us. For it is all our salvation and all our desire to have a part and a place in that glorious kingdom. And give thee our thanks and praise thy most glorious name, through Jesus the Christ, that name that has been raised above all names. Amen.
There's been a slight change in the program today. Tomorrow's exhortation is going to be done today by Brother Fred Jr. And he has asked us to read Luke chapter 12. We'll ask Brother Mark Braun to read it for us.
In the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And ye, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto the men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. If he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, There will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite.
We'll now call on Brother Fred Higham to give us the exhortation, and fear not, therefore ye are of more value than money. Brother Fred.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we bring the love and greetings of those of the Detroit Ecclesia who could not be here that really had wished they could. How great is the God we serve? How wonderfully great is His power, His wisdom, His holiness, and His righteousness. How wonderful He is in majesty divine. How searching are His ways and His judgments. How great is His control of all that transpires. What infinite foresight He possesses. Everything connected with Him is boundless, and yet perfect and complete. His consciousness takes into account all the movements and events that transpire amongst all the nations, as we see going on today. And as it is written, He even declares unto man His thoughts. Nothing can escape His piercing eye. He is the only wise God, to whom be glory forever and ever. We cannot do justice to His excellence and perfection, and can only stand in awe and reverence before the magnitude of so perfect a Creator. Human minds cannot contemplate the fathomless extents of His existence. How small and infinite we are as human beings appear in the great creation. One generation cometh and the other generation goeth, and the world goes on. Men spend their years as a tale that is told. Our natural estate is like all mankind. We come under the universal laws of life and death established by the will of God. Over the years, we have seen the falling asleep in the Lord of a number of brethren and sisters whom we knew and loved in the truth. They have gone the way of all flesh, and yet there is a difference. They are entered into the everlasting remembrance of the God and Father whom they served. Being hid in the ground, they are not hidden from God and His all-pervading Spirit power. We learned from our instructor that God is everywhere, present by His Spirit. But we may ask, can God take notice of us, we who are so small and weak and feeble and humble? If it is written that the nations to Him are as a drop in the bucket, and there are billions on the earth, what must we, as solitary individuals, be of those billions in the sight of God? Can He take notice of our deeds and our needs and desires? Can He enter into our difficulties and our joys? We have learned that He can. His comprehensive gaze and searching eye and all-knowing spirit is capable of being aware of everything. It is written in Proverbs 15, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Jesus Himself said that not a sparrow falls to the ground without our Father's notice. And whilst we appear as sparrows in a sense, yet we are of more value than many sparrows. We are told it is a divine point of view that matters, and the perspective is gained by considering the bird or sparrow, as the word implies, as a bird or sparrow by wandering, so the curse causeless shall not come. Here is a suggestion of waywardness and its consequences. In Psalm 84 is a description of a safe, sheltered, secure position of this bird. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even Thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Birds have proper conditions where they can enjoy rest repose, and security in the right place, free from danger. Thus we are taught that those who place themselves under the care of God will find rest and protection and security from evil and danger. Psalm 91 expresses such confidence. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. This confidence is developed because we are within His circling power and have become His especial care in His plan of salvation. Again in Psalm 61, the same close contact is expressed. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. The righteous make their refuge in God's care and overruling guidance, and within the place where He chooses to dwell. These lessons are taught from everyday occurrences of bird life. The birds build their nests in the eaves of houses and buildings where they are safe. And one of the most common birds is the sparrow. We are likened to sparrows, for Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them is not fall to the ground without your Father." As everything lives in the Spirit of God, nothing can happen without His knowledge, even in the natural order of things. Even so is it with those who, within His especial regard and favor, we are like the common sparrows in being of the common stock of humanity, not worth much ourselves, yet we have been privileged to come within the bounds of God's glorious provision for eternal salvation. The tabernacle of God has become our place of rest, in which condition we have a safe retreat. Psalm 84, following on the similes of the sparrow and swallow, says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they shall be still praising thee." As all birds do not build their nests in the eaves of houses, so all people are not allowed within the circle of God's favor. It is only those who have sought Him in the ways of His commands who receive divine recognition. Hence Paul says, "Ye are the temple of the living God." As God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." We are remembered and reminded of Ruth, who came within the circle of Israel, and of whom Boaz said, "A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Nothing can give greater confidence than the knowledge of close companionship with God, in making our abode with Him, keeping close to Him. Delivers us from the snare of the fowler, the gins and traps set by wicked men. As the parent bird protects the young, so God sees and protects His faithful people. Jesus used the figure concerning Israel, "As a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and ye would not." Upon them came the curse, for which there was adequate cause, because they heeded not the time of their visitation. The sparrows were often trapped and sold for food. As the birds wandered from their nests away from security, so they went into danger and its consequences. Christ's reference to sparrows being sold 2 for a farthing or 5 for 2 farthings in Luke chapter 12, which we read, mentions these facts. The lesson is to be learnt, therefore, is that if we go into the danger, the curse will come. The effects from the course followed will overtake us. If we wander from the courts of God, from His overruling providence, from his circling care, from his righteous commands into unrighteous ways and company. From such causes the curse will come, and like the birds we shall be caught in a snare. On the other hand, if we remain in the courts of God, where we can continually praise him, we shall find blessings of rest and confidence now and eternal joy and happiness in the future. For in Psalm 65 we read, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Now these thoughts can only be appreciated by those who have a profound regard for God himself and reverence for his word, who realize the unchangeable supremacy of God in this world, and that he has made and rest upon and joy and rejoice in his condescension toward those who hope in his mercy. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. So with humbleness and sincerity of purpose we have drawn close to him, and learn of his all-controlling spirit and purpose, which has drawn us into his intimate relationship. Psalm 138 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly." We know of one who was meek and lowly in heart, in whom God delighted. He shared the close companionship of the Father and invites us also so to do. We see Christ in this psalm as well as David in ourselves, and we can join in appreciation of the goodness and the mercy of God, his attributes of perfection which are as eternal as God himself. We have read in Psalm 139, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." Do we feel we can apply that to ourselves? That we are under the almighty hand of God? And where do the thoughts of God concerning his children end, unless it be in the perfection of being, the perfection of nature, the perfection of purpose that he himself has proposed? In that multitudinous family of the sons of God, with power who can grace a glorified earth, he has said he will tabernacle amongst redeemed men and women with the magnificence of his power and spirit, and that they shall enjoy complete and perfect communion with him in the ages of eternity. Now with that in view, we can more readily see the present work of control, so that as Paul says, all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the abundant glory that is to be revealed. In searching his searching power, his universal cognizance, his retentive mind, his all-pervading spirit, his unfathomable wisdom, enter into all the details in his accomplishment of his will. He sees in a long panorama of events the things that are to transpire, which time and circumstance bring about. Therefore, his infinite knowledge foresaw the appearance of his only begotten Son, the Word made flesh, who in the process of time did the will of his Father. So, in the fullness of time, Christ appeared, begotten of the Spirit, born of a virgin, approved of God. God was intensely interested in and deeply affected by all that was connected with Christ because of the eternal purpose centered in him. In Psalm 139, we have that brought to our attention in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members are written. The psalmist says, thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Christ was God's servant, the son of his handmaid. The scriptures give interesting details of the angelic visitation to Mary, the one chosen by God out of all the maidens of Israel to be the mother of the Messiah. It is more than interesting, however, because it is the divinely appointed means for our salvation. As we follow the life of Jesus, we can, as it were, hear him repeating the sentiments of this psalm. Wherever he went, he was in touch with God. His mind was completely in tune with him. God's will was his delight. And we read in Psalm 138, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And so withdraw from the world, withdrawn from the world on a mountainside, he was in touch with the Father in prayer and in supplication, inspired by his Father's presence that carried him through the veil of tears and a solitude into which no other, not even the disciples, could enter. They understood none of these things when he spoke concerning his death. We are surely not saying too much to suggest that confidence and faith in an all-wise God, as presented in this psalm, fortified Jesus in his pilgrimage unto death. And so, dwelling on that aspect of the matter, we being his brethren and sisters, learn great lessons by such a consideration. For his sake, we are in the care of the Father. We are within his circling power. Our lives are in his hands. And although the world takes no knowledge of us, except that we be enrolled in it for its own use, we are connected with events that are very soon to destroy the present constitution of things when Christ appears for the salvation of his people. This being so, our lowliness, our weakness, our smallness are by no means a disadvantage, but rather the accepted circumstances in which God can work with us. It seems so natural, yet it is the characteristic means of divine ways. And actions, God's overruling care is exercised in a variety of ways in the everyday circumstances that go to make up life. The Psalms again bring that to our notice. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. How comprehensive is his wisdom! Distance is no obstacle or hindrance with the all-pervading Spirit of God. His penetrating view reaches to the end of the world, through walls, round corners, and in the darkness. He is everywhere, present by his Spirit, as we learned in the instructor. We cannot get out of his presence, though he may hide his presence from us. The psalmist continues, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. and thy right hand shall hold me. He is in touch with all creation, and there is no place where he is not. Think of Jacob when he was going to Padan Aram. Night coming on, he lay down to sleep on the sand, with a stone for his pillow, and the stars of heaven for his covering. He dreamed of a ladder, and in the morning, on awakening, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." We remember Hagar when she fled from the face of her mistress. God found her in the wilderness. "What are you doing here? Go back again." A second time she went into the wilderness with her son, and being at the point of death, she put him under a bush. God called to her, "What do you hear, Hagar?" "I have heard the cry of the child." Yes, God heard, and when she picked up the child, she saw a well that God had provided. "I will make of him a great nation," yet she had put him there to die. "Thou, God, seest me," said Hagar. As we are gathered here this morning, the same words come to us. Thou, God, seest me. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Then we think of the words of the psalmist, "If I make my bed in hell, thou art there." We may think here of certain circumstances. As a man goes underwater, God is there. Man continues to live by the breath of the Spirit of God. If we go down into the subway, we are in hell in a sense, but there is a lot of bustling about in the tunnels. We think of the miners in Pennsylvania and Wales doing their work in the bowels of the earth. They go down hundreds of feet into the earth and along miles of tunnels to the coal face in order to extract coal. This is hell, and yet God is there. We think of Jonah being swallowed by a fish. He tried to get out of the presence of God, but he found the same truth. If I go down to hell, thou art there. In his second chapter, in verse 2, he says, "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." God was there. Jonah was doubly swallowed by the waters and by the fish, but God was there. That incident reminds us of the fact that he was a type of Christ, of whom it is written in Psalm 16, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." While the Spirit necessarily left Jesus' body when he died on the cross and rested in the tomb, the Spirit of God surrounded that body and watched over the form of Christ. Without doubt, the angels watched over him, and on the third day, by the power of God, he was quickened to life again, shown the path of life, and was crowned with glory and honor. This is comforting for us, for he has said, "Because I live, ye shall also." To this desired exaltation, we lift our hearts and hands, realizing that this psalm places us in the position that wherever our lot is cast, whatever we do, our ways are open to thy view, our motives read, our thoughts explored, our hearts revealed to thee, the Lord. In darkness and temptation, let God take our hand in his holding us up and leading us through all the circumstances of life. There are times when the hand is indistinct. We cannot just see it, but we trust and we have faith, and so we go forward in humble recognition of that unseen hand. Without the camp, that godly power gives us confidence and bears us through the evil days. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." even unto the end of the age. Persuaded therefore as we are by the great goodness of Yahweh toward us and the sparrows, our earnest desire is that we may be found worthy of that eternal companionship, that everlasting life, that eternal joy. So in all sincerity, we can close with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 139, "Search me, O Yahweh, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."
We'd like to thank our brother Fred for his words of exhortation. In the way of announcements, up here in the front, there are programs to be signed, and there are a few cards for everybody to write as many thoughts as they can. There's one for Sister Doughty, one for Sister Joyce, the Robinows in Canada, and for Josh Garvey, along with the other programs. Upcoming meetings, there'll be a 2 o'clock daily Bible readings and the 8 o'clock lecture. We will close by singing the words of hymn number 45. We'll have Brother Glendon Rhodes close with prayer for this assembly and for the food. Where can we hide or whither fly, Lord, to escape thy piercing eye? With thee there is not day or night, but darkness shineth as the light. Hymn 45.
Father, we humbly bow at this time to thank you for the blessings of love and unity which we've been given this week, especially now for these words of exhortation. Might they sink deep into our hearts, might we fully digest them, that they might give us the spiritual strength which is so necessary. Thank you as well, Lord, for the blessing of temporal food which we're about to partake of. We pray that you will continue your blessings upon us, knowing that we're not worthy of the least of them. Please forgive us, Lord, of our many failings, and may thy Son soon return to deliver us from this world of wickedness. We pray, Lord, of course, all things only in accordance with thy will. In Christ's name, amen.